Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
What you talking about, huh? What you talking about, huh? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about,
huh? What's going
on? I'm here.
He's there.
Chef Willis never left, James.
No, I know he didn't. So what's for dinner tonight?
Dinner tonight, we have chicken tenders with chips.
Oh, nice.
M&S chicken tenders.
Oh.
I've also been busy today. I've been cleaning. Yes, I know, me cleaning, I know. I've been cleaning.
Oh, my goodness. You've been cleaning now?
It's Chris's, in fairness.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I like that.
It's Chris's, in fairness. I've been repairing as well. Because this part came off.
Oh, dear.
Came off. So, no more nails, yes. But the most amazing thing is, the most amazing thing I want to tell you about, James, is, yeah. And it's my first subject, actually, it goes. Since we last did a show, and it's been quite a while now, unfortunately, but we've been busy with our long lives, is I moved house.
You have moved house? How are you enjoying living with Chris?
It's fantastic. We haven't had an argument yet, although I did sleep on the sofa last night.
Oh.
He wasn't well.
Okay, well, that's fair.
So he was feeling like crap. So I said, get on your night, I'll sleep on the sofa, you can sleep right through. Because when I stay up late for editing or playing a game or something like that, and he's got an early sort of thing, I go to bed like midnight, so normal sort of time for me, and I'll wake him up by accident.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to disturb his sleep when he's trying to get over something. So I said, you go to sleep, I'll do him a favour. That's fine. Packing's nearly undone. Nearly all done. However, we've started putting stuff in the loft. And
how long ago did you move in?
Just over a month ago.
It's taking you that long to unpack?
Our sister still has not finished unpacking. She'd been moved in over a year.
What did you take?
And to be fair, there was quite a lot of boxes at my old flat, James, you remember, which were still packed from when I moved into that place.
Was there?
Yes.
You was in for...
6 years.
6 years? Yes, because we...
2014.
We moved out of our flat in 2014. So, yeah, 6 years. Yeah, wow. Quite quick.
It has gone quick. But I found we started putting stuff in the loft, because we've got a loft, it's fantastic. Cover the whole of our flat as well. But we found some things up there, left behind.
Okay.
We found a fan, you know, one of those, you know, stands up, press a button and everything, electric fan. Tested it, works fine.
Okay.
So we've cleaned all that up, and it's in the games room now.
Well,
but Chris found something else.
Okay.
Which I cleaned up today.
For the benefit of the tape, there is movement here. Okay. And that's upside down.
Oh, hang on. Forget it.
So what is this?
The teddy bear tea party, basically. In a painting. Ah.
Okay.
It looked creepy as all hell until I cleaned it up. I cleaned it up about half an hour ago. Thank you, Dettol Wet Wipes.
Other cleaning products are available.
But none as good as that one, definitely. Right, so...
Are you hoping for sponsorship?
Was I hoping for what?
Are you hoping for sponsorship there?
Please, I've only got sponsorship for two shows, James. I'm fine.
No, you don't, but if we promote things, they may send us free gifts.
I've tried that, Jay, it doesn't work.
Wow.
Not for lack of trying.
No, of course.
Not for lack of trying. Right, so...
But you've not even started cooking dinner yet.
To be fair, it's 20 minutes, James. He's still half an hour from home.
Okay. Oh, he's still out. Okay.
Yeah, Chris is at work, yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's why I'm cooking, my day off. So, how have things been for you since our last show? What have you been up to?
Crikey, when was our last show?
Show went out in May. No, was it May? May, June time. Yeah.
May, June time. So you're talking a good 3 months, aren't you?
Yes. Last time we talked, lockdown was in full effect.
It was. Obviously, we've had the lifting of some restrictions in our area. It's mainly work, to be fair. We went on holiday, didn't we?
You did go on holiday, and you were very happy about that.
Yes. We were a bit sceptical about going away and how the enforcement is different in different areas of the country. We was lucky we went to an area where the rate of infection was very low. So we was, you know, obviously there were some restrictions. We went to a famous named branded holiday park, and obviously no indoor entertainment was allowed. So, I mean, we went down to the clubhouse a few times, and you could get, obviously the new way forward is table service through an app, which is quite deadly at times.
Deadly?
Well, I'll say dangerous.
Again, I ask why dangerous? Because I've visited several places that use those apps as well.
Well, for example, I don't know if you've seen on various stories over the internet, maybe on Twitter, Facebook, for example, where people have gone to Waterstones, maybe like a social influencer or something, and they put their table number and what establishment they're at, and they get free drinks sent over to them because people will buy them drinks.
It's wrong.
It's wrong, but it could be. That's why I'm saying it could be very dangerous.
See, when they started reopening things again, this is before I had moved out. Wetherspoons opened all their pubs, and my thoughts on the boss of Wetherspoons is irrelevant because I think he is a piece of crap.
Yes.
But for the actual business themselves, the actual people who work for him, phenomenal. They are amazing. One in our town, it's really, really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, I haven't been in there in ages.
We've been in there a few times, actually, me and Chris. I've been in there a couple of times for breakfast as well. They are very strict with what they do. They are very efficient with what they do. And the food is still excellent.
Oh, good.
And the drinks are good too. So I'm very happy with the progress they have made. McDonald's reopened, of course. When the shops were all opening in our town, the last one to open was McDonald's.
Yeah, you'd think that would have been one of the first, wouldn't you? But there was various, because in our area there's three McDonald's, and one in Kent, which obviously doesn't have a drive-thru.
And there's also the one out at Harwich now as well, of course.
There's one in Harwich?
One in Harwich now as well. So when you've got one in Harwich and you've got one at Brook, the one in the middle, which is Wheelie, gets very little business compared to the two.
I think that's mainly for people who are literally just driving past at the time. I mean, I remember before when that was really busy because obviously it was drive through and people didn't want to go into town. But
I'm going to embarrass my other half here. When Chris used to live with Mum, after he'd finished his late shift, and back when they were on full hours, finishing about half nine sometimes, he'd get home at that sort of time, and he would grab McDonald's on the way home because he wanted to cook when he got home. That's part of what...
He didn't have to go out of his way to go there, did he? He was literally driving past it.
Yeah, I know. But, he could still do that now if he wanted to. But,
oh, yeah.
My opinion is that I'm happy because when I finish late, I'm done by 6:30, 7 at the latest, if I think about it, late back. So I've always said, if I'm home before you are, I will cook you dinner. Because that way, you haven't got to cook when you get home.
Fair enough.
And that sucks. It sucks when you have to get home and start cooking your dinner at 2 o'clock at night after doing like a 10-hour shift sometimes. No.
Yeah.
If you can come home and your dinner's on the table for you, glass of cider. So sometimes you come home and he just has a big smile on his face because it's ready for him. I'm like, well, I don't mind cooking. It's my job. I mean, I love to cook.
I mean, for example, what you're doing tonight is it's not a hard thing to cook, or there's not a lot of preparation.
Absolutely not.
And when you're cooking late at night like that, say for your bath, you don't want to be slaving over the stove. Quick little thing, done.
Yeah, when I had crumpets, for example.
Oh, well, why not?
Crumpets, and that was lovely. Last night, Chris really wasn't feeling hungry because he felt like crap. He got home from work, and all he wanted was a piece of my freshly made carrot cake.
Oh, okay.
I now can bake. I was scared of baking for so many years. I can now bake cakes.
Well,
I have confidence.
It takes practice, and it's a bit of confidence, yeah.
It's a science. Baking as well. It's not with cooking. If you, for example, when I make my pasta bake, you've had my pasta bake. You know how good it is.
The infamous pasta bake of our shared abode.
Yes. You even now you still remember it, and it's still, and you know how good it is. Chris has had it several times. He knows how good it is. But it needs to have cheese on top. But
we're talking like 50-50%.
It's not that much.
There was a lot of cheese. Oh, it was a lot of cheese.
I scaled back the cheese content.
Yeah, okay.
But when you make that, you can throw anything into that. So that's all good. Talk with Devil.
Hello. My ears burning.
I'm talking about you, not to you.
Exactly, my ears burning.
When you make a pasta bake, you just throw anything in it at one go. You can put anything you want, but baking is a science, and actually part of Dad and Chris telling me to face my demons because of how much, I used to have a lot of problems baking, and he basically told me to stop being a wuss and get on with it, basically. So I did. As proven by his birthday cake he had.
Indeed, it looks like we never managed to get a piece in here, did we?
No, that was my birthday cake, which you made for me.
Oh, your birthday cake. Sorry, no, yeah.
I made him a cake, but you couldn't get across to his at the time because things were still very much in lockdown at the time, yes.
I'm sure we all look forward to tasting a sample in future.
Absolutely. Are you a carrot cake man?
I've never had carrot cake.
You've never had carrot cake?
Never had it. Not to say that I don't want to try it, just never have done.
Well, carrot cake is a delicious a meal that you can have, definitely. And I say it's a meal because it is a meal, yes.
Yesterday.
Yeah, there you go, exactly.
There was a valid reason for that,
though. Well, yeah, yes, absolutely. Chris just said it was a meal for him yesterday, but we've already discussed that, so it's fine.
Is cake a meal? That's a question, Dorian.
Probably not, because this will hate my guts.
Who hates your guts?
Our listeners.
Who?
Ming heckled.
Oh, why not?
Absolutely.
Indeed.
Yeah, my subject is a suggestion, yeah.
What was your suggestion?
Messing about the moving part.
Haven't got that one yet, no.
What was that?
I tell you what, Chris, you asked a question to James directly.
We're here sticking for suggestions for the subjects. And seeing as we've just moved in with each other, I thought it was the best thing and worst thing about the movie partner. Not necessarily about myself or Kirsty, but like in general, like what you find different, what you find good, what you don't find good.
Some things cannot be broadcast for legal reasons.
Mm.
Or for decency reasons for that matter either. Having someone to come home to, having someone there when you get home from work is always nice.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the main thing which can be good or bad is compromise. You have to compromise. You can't just have it all your own way.
What's compromise, James?
You compromise sleeping on the sofa with your butts not very well.
No, I didn't compromise. That was my suggestion completely. That was not yours.
Yeah, watching reality shows when you don't want to.
Depends on the reality show, to be fair. I've got to do the RuPaul's Drag Race recently.
Okay. But surely there are different shows that the two of you like and don't like, for example.
I found out this week someone hates Gordon Ramsay.
No,
oh, really?
In general, it was just how he wasn't healthy.
You don't like Gordon Ramsay?
I didn't mind him on the Kitchen Nightmares, but Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen, like. In the early season, I found out he's a lot more of an arse.
Oh, he's turned it down.
In Series 10, which we are, me and James actually watch going forward from, he's actually much more, he's much more toned down than that. So I saw that, I was like, oh, crikey. It really wasn't what I was expecting at all.
No.
But
we were watching The Kitchen Nightmares the other day where he actually walked out.
That
and I was like,
company.
Amy's Baking Company, indeed.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I thought he was actually going to come back in or anything like that. But I looked because we'd recorded it and it was in the room. And I'm like, because we was watching it with just fascination and we love that sort of thing. And then suddenly it was like in the program, I was like, okay. And then we managed to find on demand the revisit.
Which he didn't do, of course. He actually hosted it from the set of Hell's Kitchen, and they sent an actual journalist to actually interview her because he wouldn't go back.
Yeah, what do you think he just didn't have the balls to go back, or
no? Amy and her other half in that program, they were both. This is not a PG show. They were both batshit fucking crazy.
Yes, they were.
If I acted like that in my kitchen, I'd be fired.
Yeah.
Thing is, the kitchen was spotless. Absolute. The kitchen was beautiful. What do you know what's wrong with it? It's your fucking attitude.
Kitchen was spotless. He tried to cake set on display in front of the house. He said they were absolutely stunning. Couldn't fault it whatsoever.
It was not the food. Not the
horses and stuff like that. Yeah.
If it ain't the food, and if it ain't the cleanliness, then it's staff. And if it's the staff, which one is it? Not the wait staff. They got through about 30, 40 servers, they said, something like that.
I think when they went back, I think it got to over 100. Which was just a crazy turnover.
That's more turnover than McDonald's did have when we were there, Chris.
Mm. And the other thing was, they never gave the waiters or the waitresses any tip.
No.
Just kept all for himself. He said, well, if they work harder, they'll get them. But he doesn't let them.
That is the... because they won't let you to till either, would they, if I remember something correctly. What really annoyed me about this, and Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this one, and no, you probably will. Because you've been to America more than I have. In America, it's very... The hourly wage is nothing, like $2-$3.
In the service industry, it is.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty much... It's up for about $4.
It's
the rest is made up by tips.
Yeah, you live on tips and commission, basically.
That's the thing. Even in the UK, it's... Minimum wage.
Yeah, the minimum wage is still a lot more than they get in America.
No, there is a minimum wage.
Exactly. And there should be. That's in my opinion. But, reality TV shows as well. I don't think any reality TV shows I don't like watching, although I do have a problem watching Jungle sometimes. But it's a castle this year, so I might actually watch it. Putting one on too much, and that's leading to it. I like that.
completely different take on it, I think it'd be very interesting.
A freshen up, as it were.
Oh, totally. And I think I'll get a lot of viewers. Heck of a lot of viewers. Because it's something, it's not just, oh, they're going in the jungle, they're eating spiders, they're doing this thing where they've got cockroaches all over them and they're trapped in something like that.
There's no bug at all in it this year at all. If it's rodents, I'm not watching that, you know that.
The rodents are Nordic series.
I don't watch jungle for a reason, and that is one of them.
That is great. Well, the rodents.
Yes.
Think of the creepy crawlies we have in this country.
Creepy crawlies, I'm fine with creepy crawlies.
Exactly.
It's not the creepy crawlies I've got a problem with, it's the four-legged variety with long tails.
Rabbits.
Yeah. Don't mention the... Don't...
It's better than Mickey.
That's like saying a wasp is better than a hornet. It's not much better.
Yes, it'll be different anyway. Best thing, like having someone to come home to, really, more than anything. I mean, you know, it's a pleasure.
I mean, making it personal, one of the best things about living with Chris is the bloody view. The view we have is stunning.
I'm
making it personal. And
Ben, who are you living with as long as you had that view, basically?
I wouldn't be living here without you. So, fact matter is, and it's proven, everybody who's in that view, from your auntie to James to both our mothers to the Skyman who came last week. That's who's done it. That view is amazing.
And the beautiful thing is, when we have storms coming in off the seafront, they really light up the sky out there. Even if you don't like thunderstorms weather, we've had a few this year and they've all been out at sea, and it's the display is absolute sight.
Absolutely, without a doubt. In fact, the wind was getting up today, and it was the waves were crashing against the shore. It was beautiful. We had some high wind a few weeks ago, and while we were while that was happening, I was actually playing D&D online, and Alex doing the editing for it, and the just whistling noise in the background from where it's whistling against our windows, because obviously your second story, so. It was really windy on that side.
How is the cooking going?
It's going.
It's going. Have you not put it on yet?
It's going along.
You haven't even put it on yet.
There's your 5 minute chips.
5 minute chips.
They take 5 minutes to cook.
Where are they going? Microwave?
No, oven.
Really?
They're the cane quick cook fries.
Oh, French fries.
Yeah, they're good.
What's your choice of dip?
Dip? If I had to choose a dip, we're barbecue.
Barbecue? Interesting.
Barbecue man.
I'm a sweet chili man.
Chris is a no dip man.
Oh.
When it comes. You're not fussy.
I have barbecue every now and again.
But... You're not fussy. You are a chef's nightmare.
So basically, whatever mood he's in.
No, he is fussy. There's certain things he likes.
We all have our preferences.
Yeah, and he prefers to be fussy.
But that's what makes us interesting. That's why, if everyone was the same, it'd be very boring.
That is something I would normally say. However, example of this, and Chris will vouch for me on this one, you like tomato puree on a pizza. You like tomato based on a pizza. Right. Doesn't like tomatoes in any other form.
I don't like tons of base. If it's too much base, I end up scraping some of it off.
That sounds like you, to be fair, man.
He doesn't like it in pasta sauce. Doesn't like it in ketchup. Doesn't like tomatoes in general.
Here's something really weird. The only apple pie I've ever tried in life is my girl's apple pie. I've tried various other strudels and pies. I just don't like them. It's literally my girl's apple pie. That's it.
It's not an apple pie.
It's not a pie.
It's a pie
pastry,
Christopher.
You could argue it's more like strudel, and I still prefer those over
strudel. It's not a pie, then!
What does it say on the box?
It says French fries on that bag, they're chips.
Who said the French fries?
So James knew what the bloody box said. Bag, you know. Don't James looking awkward like a third wheel at this point. We're having an argument. I just put a table that we don't argue, and it's not helped now.
I suppose that he doesn't like my living with me, the fact that I can correct him and counter his points several times.
James, he does like to prove me wrong.
That's a challenge of viewpoints sometimes.
Every time.
It's not every time.
James is smiling and nodding because he's exactly the same with Chris. To be fair, that's why he gives almost all of us of our family, James, isn't it?
Well, that's it, exactly. That's staying in.
Well, the bumper the lumber.
Jane, let's talk sport.
Okay. Now, I've got one for you.
Go on then.
The Olympics has been postponed until 2021.
Yeah.
As it's been delayed, you're allowed to take a sport out of the Olympics. Which do you choose?
Athletics is a lot of specific sport.
Athletics, pretty much the majority of the Olympics.
Absolutely.
What would you replace it with?
Paralympics in total. The Paralympics, in my opinion, should be part of the main games.
I think it should be at the same time.
Because the Commonwealth Games, they have them side by side at the same time.
Indeed. And when we had the anniversary games at the Olympic Stadium, London Stadium, whatever you want to call it now. When they did the anniversary games in years afterwards, they was all at the same time. So you'd have like 100 metres. You'd have Usain Bolt 100 metres, and then you have Johnny Peacock running in the 100 metres afterwards, but the Paralympic one.
Now, I'm aware that what I said there slightly throwaway because I'm aware that the athletics in the main Olympics is an important part, so I'm not saying get rid of that, obviously.
I think the point of the Paralympics is to give them my own spotlight.
I agree.
So it's purely all about Paralympic athletes rather than being overshadowed.
One could argue that the main Olympics can get overshadowed by the Paralympics sometimes because of the achievement they've done, and they are fantastic, all the praise and credit in the world. I mean, one of the best things ever, me meeting Tanya Gray Thompson. She was the most amazing woman I've ever met in my life. Apart from my mother.
She replied my tweet as well.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Well, I tweeted that she came for my ticket gate. She's like, I made your day. Or something like that.
She's lovely, and she's very rude when she's not on camera as well, I tell you. She's very rude off camera, she was. She was lovely. Met her in Newcastle.
In Newcastle?
Newcastle, yes.
My own pet.
I think I phoned Mum saying why, and she told me to shut up. So that was funny. I also met Gail and Catherine Merry. So
she married.
She was that night. She was drunk night before. Yes, she was drinking with us. an actual sport to take out and replace with something else that's not in the Olympics. I'm not allowed to put what you say.
Yeah. I said you're not allowed to take golf out because I know your thoughts on golf.
Oh, my thoughts on gold and tennis at the Olympics is that the Olympics should always be the top of a discipline. And for golf and tennis, it just isn't. And football, for that matter, the Olympic medal is not the highest level, is it? It's the World Cup.
Well, I see what you're saying. But the event which I would take out of the Olympics, anyway, I'm going to throw this one in here, is road walking.
Road walking? I say that'd be good, but do it whilst drunk.
They're not... That goes back to our Christmas episode, when I mentioned about sports whilst drunk. Excellent. They don't walk, they jog. Not
I've seen five red cards given to someone once and they cried because they were given five red cards.
Yes, because you're not allowed, you have to have 1 foot in contact with the road at all times. Otherwise, it's walking.
You're seeing me walk my feet on the floor at both times.
Well,
yeah.
They've introduced speed climbing.
Is that like rock climbing?
Rock climbing, but at pace. And I think it'll be a very entertaining watch.
Okay.
But what would you take out?
What would I take out? Thank you, Chris.
Just one
event. I would... One event.
Stumped you, very nice.
Beach volleyball.
Why?
Beach volleyball, because I think it's... I don't get it. I don't get it.
Why don't you get it?
I've watched volleyball. I didn't know until about a month ago that you can kick the ball in volleyball.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you just get some footballers playing it, then, couldn't you?
You as long as you can use any part of your body to hit the floor.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. If I'd known that, I'd do part of it sooner. But I have no interest in volleyball for that reason. So beach volleyball, hit the bricks.
Okay.
What would I have replaced it?
Hmm.
I got it. Something from the London Games. Creative writing.
Wasn't that originally one of them?
It was at the 1948 Games, the austerity games, held in London after the Second World War. No one had any money. Two of the sports were architecture and creative writing.
Architecture? Is that like sculpting?
I'm pretty sure it was something. I haven't researched it, but Bob Mills told me. Well, that's what I was thinking. Yes, I'm getting you designing a building. I guess, and the best design wins.
Okay, I'm just going to design a new stadium. And the winner gets to build a stadium for the next Olympics.
Do you know what? That wouldn't be a bad prize. That wouldn't be a bad prize. The creative writing thing, because I think that would be... It'd be fun to see people... I'd like to see J.K. Rowling try and redeem herself and get herself a gold medal.
Redeem herself?
Well, she's kind of in hot water with some of her transphobic comments recently.
Oh.
I mean, great writer. Great, great writer. But she's not exactly endeared herself to the LGBTQ+ community.
Oh, I haven't heard these comments. I'll have a look afterwards.
Yeah, you... They are... divisive is probably being generous. They're wrong, is what I'd say.
Does that relate to their opinion?
Yeah. I can't support both views, though. I can't support...
There's a difference between not being able to support someone's views and saying they're outright wrong, because they're their own thoughts and opinions.
Yes.
You could respect their views, maybe.
No.
But if they're... I don't know what they are.
To, I have to accept her views because they are her views. Doesn't mean I have to respect it.
Okay.
Because they're bordering on criminal.
Okay.
But that's where I'll leave that. And regarding sport itself, we'll shift gears a little bit, as it were. A perfect little segue. Last time we talked, you and me were anticipating the arrival of the new F1 season.
Indeed.
And we will be touching on this in a special Interlag Gossip at some point. We weren't expecting much from a curtailed season. No Australia, no China, no Bahrain at the time. Silverstone was looking doubtful. The first two races all cancelled.
We didn't know what to expect, did we? Let's be honest.
And then back to back racing in Austria, fantastic. Hungary was a little less exciting.
It was typical Hungary, wasn't it?
It was. Two cracking races at Silverstone, including the 70th anniversary race, which was worthy of being a 70th anniversary race.
Spain. One of the races that I haven't seen this year.
Go and watch it. It's on Sky Q, James.
I know, I'll put it on.
And then you got, what's it called? Spain, which was unfortunately kind of tepid. Belgium, which... Belgium wasn't exciting massively. It was great strategy, but unfortunately the safety car that came out early paid all strategy. So that was a problem. And then Italy. Italy went...
The back-to-back Italian races.
Yeah. A race in Italy at Monza, which was phenomenal, where you see Pierre Gasly. I even made Chris sit through the highlights of that one.
I don't mind watching
F1. Yeah. No, I mean, I waited till he was home before I started watching him. So, in fact, I made him.
I actually watched it with Kirsty as well. And for once, she was actually like, oh, this is quite interesting, isn't it? Well, yeah, when things like this happen, yes. I didn't dare show a China 2019.
No.
Which is probably the most dullest race I have ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
It's a show. Which was the 1,000th race. It was meant to be this huge, big spectacle, and it actually turned out to be the most boring race I've ever watched.
And a mile long straight as well. But Monza... when you got the mentalness that was going on there, coupled with the fact that Mercedes blew it because they couldn't actually read their TV screen saying, do not pit, basically. Schoolboy error by something like that.
I was watching the notebook with Ted, and he was saying that on their screens, it doesn't come up on the first page of their screens about pit lane being closed, for example. It says it on page 4.
Right, but
they didn't know straight away what had happened.
Even despite that, though, Hamilton still went past two red flags, as it were.
Have you heard his excuse for not seeing it?
They were on the outside of a corner.
No, he was playing with a steering wheel. He was looking at his steering wheel, doing some sort of switches.
Well, then he couldn't blame it himself, then. Wasn't paying due care attention. He deserved his 10-second stop-go penalty.
Yeah. I think from then on, he will always see where the markers are for the pit lane entry only.
I don't think they'll ever make that sort of mistake again at all.
He definitely won't anyway.
And of course, massive credit to Pierre Gasly and to Carlos Sainz. And Lance Stroll, because they got a podium again.
Bit of luck with the pit stops. You know, when Gasly pitted, it was luck there, but what he did afterwards is sheer grit.
He's been steady and consistent all year long.
We'll do a last race.
He got taken out. He got taken out of the race. Yeah, he got someone crashed into him. It wasn't his fault. Mind you, the symmetry is kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm sure Chad will be happy to hear that Gasly is winning races.
Yeah, Pierre Gasly, of course, is someone Chad doesn't like. But Pierre Gasly is quite a nice guy. Olivier Panis, the last Frenchman to win a Grand Prix, of course, James. Mm-hmm. He, at the next race, after he won that Grand Prix, what happened to him, do you think?
He went out on the first lap.
Retired first lap, just like Gasly did, yes.
Yeah,
the symmetry was beautiful in that time. But then, the first ever Tuscan Grand Prix, absolute mayhem.
It's a shame, because it's probably going to be the only race we'll ever have there.
I don't think so.
The thing is, all these other races have these contracts, and I don't know where it's going to fit in. We would love to see a return to Mugello.
I'd rather see gone than see, so we could see Mugello back in next year. I'd happily see China go. I would happily see circuits like, Mexico City go. I would like to see Abu Dhabi go, but it won't because it's Abu Dhabi.
China
will probably bump a load of money into it. Mm. But the problem is that a lot of these tracks were designed by a guy called Herman Tilke. Tilke drones, they call these circuits. And they are boring. And what we've
said that, but then what got voted as the best race of the last decade?
Montreal.
Hockenheim 2019.
Montreal is the race of the century, it's called, James.
Yes, but Hockenheim was voted on the Formula One website as the best race of the last 10 years, which was a Tilke track.
No, it was Tilke adjusted an already made track. It's not that he didn't design the whole thing.
A Tilke edited track.
That's different. But then you get tracks like, exactly. Yeah. But the beautiful thing, which we've got unintentionally this year, James, because of the change in the calendar, of course, is that in the 70th anniversary year, we've ended up with a championship calendar, which is basically a greatest hits.
Yeah, and it's just like a European tour.
It is. But I'm going to talk you through some of the classic tracks, okay? We've got our first Portuguese Grand Prix since 1996. Bang.
Yeah.
We're going back to Imola, site of, unfortunately, the passing of Ayrton Senna, but also some great racing over the years.
Oh, great racing. And what do you think about the, obviously, we used to have the final chicane, which has now been taken out.
Oh, it's still there, but not being used for Grand Prix racing.
No, it's not being used. So as you come out that last corner and it goes all the way sweeping, very interesting.
It will be. Terrifying, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, but you have to have risk.
Istanbul back for the first time since 2011.
Great track.
Fantastic track. And then you've got, obviously, you had the 70th anniversary race at Silverstone, of course. We already had that. It had to be at Silverstone. It had to be. Monza threw up another classic race with almost like a flashback to 12 years ago when Toro Rosso won the same race. So you've not seen the underdog win. We are unfortunately in the farewell from Williams, of course.
Indeed. But as the business went, you can understand where it went. They're keeping the name on, which I think is great. And I believe they're keeping on the road of the engineers as well.
The entire team.
There's no redundancies or anything like that, which is fantastic.
They've actually improved.
if it saved the name, it saved the brand, and it's as long as they continue, that's great. It's a shame that they don't have something like, they're not like a non-executive chairman's, or they're on the board as a president or something like that. As far as I'm aware, they're not involved at all.
They've stepped away completely. And that's their decision, in fairness. In fairness, Frank Williams is, you know, he's getting on and he's got complications, unfortunately. His daughter is a man. If I could ever meet one man from F1, he's who I want to meet and shake him by the hand if I could.
Really? Wow.
He is a man I have utmost respect for. It's just a terrible shame. But to show how much Claire Williams was hands-on, I think she was involved in helping set George Russell's car up on the Sunday morning at Monza, and then she waved Nicholas Latifi out of the garage, actually working as a mechanic. She's the team owner, basically, and she was getting hands-on.
That's fantastic, and that's what you want to say.
And that's why people love the Williams, though. That's why I'm glad it's getting on there. And at the end of the race, George Russell and Nicholas Latifi both came over the radio giving their thanks to the team for giving them the chance.
It was beautiful.
It was gutting because this weekend just gone, at the Tuscan Grand Prix, George Russell finished just outside the points. It was gutting.
Yeah, it was. But that's just the thing. If he had a better start and restart, he would have been quite easily in the points, maybe.
Possibly. One thing for sure, that Williams is not a dog like it was last year. It's not the fastest, but it's not the slowest either.
Anyway, but there's so much more I could discuss, but we'll leave that for another podcast.
We'll leave it for another podcast, definitely. To wrap up this one, though, James, because we're doing a short one this time, I want to talk football very briefly with you. Very briefly.
Soccer or American football?
Association football.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Baker Mayfield.
No, I'm not going to talk about them.
No. Do you even know who Baker Mayfield is?
I don't know, someone who plays hand egg.
Okay.
Now, first of all, if you want the football every week on this network, listen to Mags and Tanner on Radio Texas. It's a great listen. It really, really is.
I actually listened to one the other day. I thought it was great. Great listen, yeah.
A good listen. You're an Arsenal fan, obviously, James. I'm a Liverpool fan, of course. We both won our first games of the season. You are top of the league.
Yeah, well, our fact order.
Growl in the breath.
Thank you, Christopher. I've got to say, I wasn't best pleased because we scored more goals than you, but we also let in more goals than you, so that's why we're behind you.
I'll give our goal
difference plus one. But tell you what, though, have you seen a better opening game than that?
Do you know what? I didn't even see it. I saw another opening game.
Everyone's in that game who watches football, Chris.
I was out. Yes, I know, but I haven't seen it.
You have Sky.
It's not his team, so why does he want to catch up
with it? I watch Arsenal stuff.
Look, I just haven't. Okay, I'll tell you what. I will watch it after this show.
Watch it, and we'll talk about it later. Because I'll tell you what, some very good goals in that. And I also want your opinion on the very clear VAR given penalties that were both given.
Okay. And I will.
You've also made a very good signing, James, haven't you, recently as well?
Have we?
Well, you re-signed Aubameyang. That's a massive signing.
It is, and that brings confidence for the whole team.
The captain re-signing, definitely. And he scored an absolute blaster against Fulham you played, wasn't it?
Fulham, yeah. I thought you were talking about the goals from Terry Shields, I'll be honest.
You did play very well on the Charity Shield, James, yes. But I'd like to point out that you only drew that game. You did win them. You won the trophy on penalties, but you only drew the match.
I can't remember who I'm speaking to. I think it's someone at work. Unless you're actually in the Chariot Shield, no one cares about it.
I guess that's true. It's not the only trophy you're going to win this year.
Well, that's very flattering.
I think you're going to finish third. Behind Chelsea.
Well, it's going to be a very interesting season. I think Chelsea are going to be very, very competitive.
I think we'll edge it with Chelsea just behind us. And you, maybe 5-10 points back.
That's a big shake.
Well, I think with a couple of signings, you'll make it. I think you're making signings correctly, because if you didn't make any signings, I think that you would struggle this year.
Well, we've signed
Thiago today.
Yeah.
And someone else, I believe, is coming. There's talk about Diego Jota.
Not sure about that one, but I know it's Sarr from Watford, almost a done deal. Which is he's a cracking striker. Obviously, the signing of Costa Simikas is added firepower at the back. He's got a great left foot on him as well, so he can give good competition for Robbo. So, to answer Chris's question, though, where do I think Man City are going to be? Because obviously, I said top three being Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal. I think if I was going to answer that question 5 days ago, I'd have said fourth. I now think fourth is a three-way fight between City, United and Spurs. Because obviously Spurs have re-signed Gareth Bale, no.
Yeah,
they've got a very strong Kane and Bale, if they can get them working together and not one or the other, because some teams just can't work together. If they can make them work together, they're going to be a very potent front line.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're... attack and prowess has been when they sold Christian Eriksen, I think it made a big difference to their team. You saw the last 6 months of the season, they did struggle, Tottenham. Odd games here and there, which they won, you know, and not very convincingly at times either.
Well, one example of that was last night at the recording, the European qualifiers all won late to be probably to play catch up because they're starting late because of the COVID delay, of course. And yesterday, with 13 minutes to go, they were 1-0 down and going out. And then I can't pronounce his name, but that guy, Sergei Bedlinen, I don't know his actual name, I call him Bedlinen.
Stephen Bedlinen.
That's him. Thank you, James. Him. He apparently... Jose Mourinho says he now looks like the player he should be. I'm like, well, good.
He looks stunning in the Dutch League, but the Dutch League and the Premier League are two different things. And playing a European style of football is completely different from the Premier League as well.
Very true. Very true. But I'm saying Spurs have got a good little outfit going on there. They're a good little outfit.
Maybe. I think it'd be very interesting to see how the season pans out. But to what you were saying about the qualification being one leg, I say keep it. And I also say for knockout games, like they had their little tournament in the summer, keep that as well. I thought that was a brilliant idea.
I agree, because it put more impetus on attack the whole time. Because you're playing two legs the whole way through, and you get to the final with one leg. I proved my point. When Liverpool played Spurs in the final, prime example, when we were in the final against Spurs, the whole way through, both teams were, and we got to the final, and we're like, completely different. I mean, you watched the game with me, Chris, yeah, Champions League final, and it was, I'm not going to say anything, it was dire. I don't mean Eric dire either. It was dire to watch.
It was a poor game.
But I didn't care if we won the Champions League that day, but for a neutral watching it, they're not going to want to watch it again. One-legged games, as we saw with the Man City-Leon match, as a prime example, and then also with the the humiliation of Barcelona. No word for it.
This is the thing. You look a few years ago and Barcelona was 4-0 at PSG. But then part of you in the back of your head thought, yeah, but Barcelona can beat 4-0 at home. So by having it as one leg, it's not classic FA Cup. Classic FA Cup games, for example, or say European Championship or international tournaments, one-legged games I think are so much more interesting. Because if you do, say you're 3-0, you've won that first leg 3-0, second leg's a dead rubber sometimes.
Well, prime example of that is because, of course, they lost to, was it Lazio, did Roma 3-0? They lost to us 4-0, and then this year they lost 8-2.
Yeah, it was Roma.
It was Roma, yeah.
Barcelona won 4-1 at home, or was it 3-1 at home, and then Roma won 3-0 in the away leg.
4-1. It was 4-1.
I mean, that's the beauty of two-legged games, maybe, but I think one-legged little tournament, mini tournaments are the way forward. Maybe if they're going to do that, bring back the second group stage like they had before. I don't know. Just a rough idea. Just to give them the money side of it, you know, more games.
Yeah.
But I think the mini tournament was outstanding in Europa and
without doubt. It was a huge success. But the fact that they've gone from 3-0 to 4-0 to 8-2 over three consecutive seasons shows that they've been found out.
And there's talk of Suarez leaving as well.
Going eventually, apparently.
Apparently so. The thing in Spain this year, they haven't been spending a lot of money, mainly because with the obviously restrictions on teams. On stadiums, obviously no fans.
Yeah.
The match day income, they haven't got the money to spend because there's no money incoming to the club, which could put the Spanish league a bit behind when it comes to European competition.
One can hope.
But. You look at, say, like the English clubs, they're still spending the money. But that's mainly because the money that comes into the English games a lot more.
The English clubs spend money, but Chelsea spend money. Mm-hmm. No one's gone to United because United are managed by a bus driver. Don't tie, it's true. Man City were putting all their hopes on signing Messi, and he's not going there now. They signed Nathan Ake for 40 million. He's not worth 20.
Yeah, but that's because they're Man City.
Nathan Ake couldn't lace the boots of Vincent Kompany. I'm sorry. And
a split of Barcelona signed Dembele from Dortmund. It's because of who they were. They could just demand the money. And I think that's what Bournemouth did with City.
Yeah.
It's like when you signed, for example, when you signed Andy Carroll those years ago, because you had that money sitting there from Fernando Torres, they were just like, you know what? Yeah, fine. Spend it.
We also had a... we also, at the time, had an idiot in the... doing all the negotiating for him. So that's partially why. Of course, there is always talk that apparently Edin Dzeko is going to Juventus, actually, which could actually stop Suarez going there.
Yeah, there's talk about maybe Suarez going to Inter as well, maybe. But who knows?
I do know that the fact we got Thiago, who has won so much in his professional career, for less than 20 million.
I think it's a great signing.
We're still for summer.
Totally cool. Hello.
Are you sure? Are you sure? I'm in the middle of recording right now. No, it's fine. It's fine. That's the beauty of editing. We can edit this out.
No.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, it's not being edited out, apparently. It's not being edited out, apparently. Hello? That's fine. Okay, bye. Okay. All right, see you soon. Love you. Bye, bye, bye. Oh, I was meant to be cooking. I was meant to be cooking because of you now, but she says she'll just have a sandwich. So.
Right, so thank you so much for listening to the show this week, guys. It's been great to get chatting with my brother again. We promise we won't be so long for our next show. James, you now have a new handle, of course, on Twitter.
We say new. It's been there for a few months. And it's been there since the last, before the last show as well.
Well, remind our listeners, because it's been a while.
Oh, yes, you can find me on Twitter at JamesWillis86.
Absolutely. And you can also, and at the moment, while TikTok is still a thing, you can find him on the same one on TikTok.
You never know what's going to happen, because apparently they might be getting rid of it in America, I'm not sure.
But either way, at the moment, time of recording, you can find him on Twitter at the same handle, I believe.
Yes, I believe so. Can't quite remember. Maybe. I don't know. Yes, it is. It's at JamesWillis86, yeah.
Excellent, perfect. Obviously, find me at Matt.UK. Find this show at Willis Boys Talk. If you want to send in a topic for us to discuss, we will happily do so, and then James will tell me why I'm wrong. Anyone out there have an idea for another position what James has got, for example? Anyone out there who has an idea for what they would replace women Olympic sports with? Put it out there on Twitter, hashtag it Olympic Change.
I like the hashtag. So let's see if we can get trending.
It won't, but it's worth a try. Okay, so we will see you very soon. We're out of here.
What you talk about?
I'm hopping a good boom.
What you talking about? This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.